Our conquest is inevitable, our ascension a matter of time. Let none who are wise deny our destiny.
Welcome to the Regimental Vox, a podcast dedicated to all things Warhammer and wargaming in general. I am your host and Vox operator for the evening, Caleb Meyer. It is Thursday, February 6, 2020. This is episode 66. A little bit later in the week than usual. No particular reason, just some life stuff getting in the way and whatnot earlier in the week. So, nothing major, nothing big, nothing to be concerned about. So, but let's go ahead and start getting into stuff since we are obviously a little behind. We've got a little bit more to cover than usual. So, as far as the opener goes. So, as far as new stuff in my neck of the woods, not a whole lot going on, or that went on, rather. Got some stuff coming up, though, here very shortly. Next weekend, the 15th, will be my first event that I'm running at Gamers Wharf in Granville, Michigan, for those who are living in the West Michigan area. It will be a doubles tournament for Age of Sigmar, so I will have a link in the show notes for that, for those who are interested. Space is limited, so please make sure to read that event posting if you're interested, and follow those instructions as far as RSVPing to the event, so that way we can get everything properly organized. So, yeah, I'm very super nervous, admittedly, because I feel like I have no idea what I'm doing, but the only way to figure it out is to kind of wing it to some degree, so, and figure out what works and what doesn't. So we're gonna see. But yeah, so that's about it as far as new, exciting, whatever else going on. So, but let's go ahead and get into the all of the new goodies stuff going on here. So before we get into the pre-ordery who's and what's it, I did want to mention something that GW had shown off last week, because it ties into the pre-orders, admittedly. They had the Nuremberg Toy Fair this past week, and GW was there showing some stuff off. I had kind of forgotten about the Toy Fair, so this was actually quite surprising to see some of these announcements. Some of it, you know, is very specific. In fact, actually, if anything, it's all fairly specific. But usually, GW at these, like, toy fair events and things like that, it focuses more on, like, their board game type stuff. In this case, they focused on more on the specialist games, but they're still, like, actual miniatures games instead. So, which is kind of cool. They had some new stuff for Necromunda, where they are adding some reinforcements to the Goliaths. Looking pretty cool, actually, what they got going on. I still have yet to try out Necromunda myself. Curious to give it a spin. But these are some pretty cool-looking models, so definitely check those out if you're into Necromunda. Secondly, coming out in April, they have two new forces being added to the Aeronautica Imperialis. So, which is exciting. I've been a little nervous about Imperialis, to be perfectly honest, just because there's not been a whole lot of chatter about it, you know, whereas Titanicus, even though it's a very niche, you know, game and stuff like that, there's still plenty of people that are very, very interested, and there's still plenty of chatter, so they keep coming out with new stuff. But Aeronautica, I have yet to actually talk to anybody who's even, like, shown interest, which I don't understand, because personally I think it looks really fucking badass. But yeah, they are adding in Skies of Fire for the Taros Air War. They are going to have the Tau Aircast versus Astra Militarum. So it's still, you know, Imperial stuff. But yeah, it looks like they got two either Vendettas or Valkyries. I would assume Vendettas, and not Valkyries, as well as what looks like three Voss pattern lightnings. So, which is pretty cool. They kind of got like the downswept wings and stuff on them. So, pretty badass looking set there. And then for the Tau, it looks like it's some Tiger Sharks and some Barracudas, I think, is what they got there. Admittedly, I'm not 100% certain that those are the specific ones. We might be able to find out, though. Let's hop on over to good old Forge World here and see if we can match these up. Xenos Armies, Tau Empire... let's see here. Yeah, it looks like the two bigger ones are Tiger Sharks. And then the smaller ones... Yeah, the smaller ones kind of look like Barracudas. So, yeah, so it should be two Tiger Sharks and three Barracudas going up against two Vendettas and three... Voss pattern lightnings. So it's pretty cool shit. Gonna have a new campaign book for the Taros Air War and stuff. It makes me sit here wondering whether I should try to get Wings of Vengeance now while it's still available, because they're gonna stop making that, or if I should just wait to get Skies of Fire. Personally, I'd love to have both, but you know, money's a thing that happens and it sucks. So but yeah, so that's supposed to be out in April. And then with Titanicus, they did actually announce some new stuff. And I think, and the reason I mention this now is, like I said, I think some of this stuff is, if not all of it, will be available for pre-order this weekend. So I figured I'd just go over this announcement now. But yeah, they are releasing a new starter set. You know, they had that Grandmaster one, they had the two Warlords with the, what is it, six knights, I think it is? Or maybe it was 12 knights. I think it's six knights, though. I don't remember exactly. But this new kit is going to be two Reavers, two Warhounds, and two Cerastus knights. So, you can, you know, build up either one decent-sized force in that box, or... you can split it with a friend and you have two small starter sets. So, it's a pretty cool, you know, it's a pretty nice feature there. I don't know pricing wise how it compares to the Grandmaster Edition. So, you know, this might be a better starting point for some people. Although the contents are completely different from the Grandmaster Edition overall, too. So, you know, there's a reason to buy both. You know, just as far as money saved on models and stuff. But they also are bringing the Warbringer Nemesis Titan to Titanicus. So that's pretty cool. As well as a new expansion book, Shadow and Iron. And that is going to add in Psi Titans, actually, from Ordo Sinister. As well as new Night Houses and Maniples and all that good jazzaroo. So... pretty cool shit overall, so definitely something to look into. So, but let's move on here with the pre-order stuff. So they did start pre-orders, and then being released this Saturday is Wrath of the Everchosen and some new Warband stuff. So the Soul Wars Wrath of the Everchosen campaign book will be available to pick up this weekend. You could pre-order it now. There will be two new Warhammer Underworlds Warbands, the Wormspat and Hrothgorn's Mantrappers. So, Maggotkin and, Ogres, Ogre Maw Tribes. So, I almost said Ogre Kingdoms, and I was like, whoop, nope, that's wrong. As well as the, dice for those. So, but that is all available for pre-order right now. And then this weekend's upcoming pre-orders, so what'll start on Saturday... they will have the Greater Good, both standard and ebook, as well as a collector's edition, will all be available for pre-order starting this Saturday. As well as the new Commander Shadow Sun model, which is a really badass looking model. Even if you don't do Tau, it's a pretty cool model, so definitely check that out. And then Gene Stealer Cults is getting a Start Collecting box, which is pretty cool. Interesting. Okay. The Keller Morph, which was previously only available as part of a box set, is also going to be available separately. So they're putting together a box set that has, you know, as a new Start Collecting box, and then they're taking that Keller Morph out of the old Kill Team box set, the Starnes Disciples, and boom, there you go. Now you can buy Keller Morph separately. So, that Titanicus, the new starter box set, and Nemesis Warbringer Titan will all be available, as well as Shadow and Iron. So yeah, there's a whole bunch of stuff coming out, coming out for pre-order this weekend. So definitely keep an eye on all of that. So, and I did almost miss something here. As far as the Shadow and Iron thing goes, there is going to be a Warlord Sinister. So the Ordo Sinister, Warlord Sinister Psi Titan, will be available from Forge World, so that you can pre-order and purchase that. So, I don't know if it is an upgrade kit for a regular Warlord Titan, or if it is its own whole separate kit. So keep an eye on that. Pretty cool looking model though. Overall, I really like that. It still looks like a Warlord for sure, but it's got a few little touches here and there that make it kind of stand out, namely the helmet for it. Definitely makes it look unique and gives a vibe that this thing is definitely not of the regular bog standard Warlord Titan variety. So pretty cool shit. But so yeah, that's what all's going on as far as the new newness goes. All right, so we're going to go ahead and take a break then quick. After the break, we are going to go over some preview stuff for the new Psychic Awakening, The Greater Good book. So stay tuned.
You're listening to The Regimental Vox. Follow The Regimental Vox on social media by going to facebook.com/TheRegimentalVoxPodcast or on Twitter @RegimentalVox. Like what you're hearing? You can help support the show for as little as $1 a month by going to patreon.com/TheRegimentalVox today.
Welcome back to The Regimental Vox. As I mentioned before the break, going to go over the preview stuff for the new Psychic Awakening Greater Good factions. So the Greater Good is going to feature three primary factions, the Tau Empire, Gene Stealer Cults, and Astra Militarum. So we're going to go ahead and get started with the, titled faction there, as it's the Greater Good is their thing, the Tau Empire. So, all right, so let's see here. For starters, they are having them broken up into the, various septs and stuff, obviously. So they kind of have added in like that whole make your own sept thing. It's basically the Tau version of chapter tactics and stuff. So, but let's see here. So they did show off one of them here. Stabilization systems is a choice that you can use. I'm assuming that it's probably going... Oh, yeah, it even says right here. To create your own, you select two rules from the sept tenets. Okay. So they showed off a couple of them here. Stabilization systems, when resolving an attack made with a ranged weapon by a battlesuit model with this tenet, that model does not suffer the penalty for moving and firing heavy weapons. Hopefully that will actually come in super handy, because right now the main issue with a lot of the Tau battlesuits and why they're not quite as whiz-bang as they could be is the whole moving and firing thing. Here you have something that's super mobile, but you don't exactly want to move it very often because you get that penalty. So in this case, no more penalty. So, which is nice. Then they also have soldiers in arms. You can increase the range of the For the Greater Good ability to 9 inches for units with this tenet. I think the For the Greater Good, if I remember correctly, is the ability to overwatch. You know, if a unit's being charged, that nearby units can help by firing their overwatch at the approaching enemy target. So this will allow you to, of course, have more guys get involved in the fight, shooting down that target as it's charging at you. But for some reason, I'm having trouble spitting out my words right this second. What I'm trying to say is that more units near the targeted unit that is being charged will be able to assist. That is what I'm trying to say. I don't know why that was so fucking hard to spit out, but there we go. That's what I was getting at. So, they also have this some new prototype weapon systems available. This one that they showed off is specifically for the XV-95 Ghost Keel, the Advanced EM Scrambler. Enemy units that are set up on the battlefield as reinforcements cannot be set up within 12 inches of this model. So that's something that's we're seeing more and more, and various factions. So that'll come in handy. And plus, too, seeing something that gives some of these lesser used models a reason to be used is nice. You know, the Tau, as it stands, they're kind of a one-trick pony with a big focus on the shield drones and stuff. And we all agree shield drones really need some pulling back and stuff. But giving some of these other units, though, like I said, some extra attention that might make them more worthwhile and stuff will hopefully result in more people making more varied lists. Is kind of the idea, obviously, you know, both from a financial perspective for GW of trying to sell stuff that's not selling as well by improving the rules, but also, too, like, in my mind, I would rather, when possible, try to improve models and stuff that are not quite so, you know, they're just not quite cutting the mustard compared to some of the other options in the book. I would rather bring those up rather than nerf down shit. Sometimes those things just need a nerf. It's you could either super power creep the ever living shit out of the rest of the book, or bring that one particular unit, in this case shield drones, down several pegs. So, but either way, like I said, I agree with the idea and concept of having a preference to improve things that are not as good as opposed to bringing shit that's really good down. So, moving on here, stratagems. They showed off coordinated engagement. Use a stratagem, and it's 2 CP. Use a stratagem in your shooting phase. Select one XV-8 Crisis Battlesuit or XV-8 Crisis Bodyguard unit from your army and select one enemy unit. Until the end of that phase, when resolving an attack made by a model in that Crisis Battlesuit or Crisis Bodyguards unit against that enemy unit, treat that enemy unit as having 5 marker-like counters. That's pretty fucking powerful. Now, that is something right there that will make battlesuits more worthwhile. The XV-8 in particular is such an iconic part of the Tau, and yet has been pretty absent from the meta for quite some time, just due to the fact that they're just not that good. Now, admittedly, a 2 CP stratagem to make them better is kind of you know, because then it's limiting that the only thing that could make them better and worthwhile is a stratagem. But this is a pretty powerful stratagem, just being able to automatically, boom, 5 marker-like counters. It only works for the one unit, but still, you could... You know, you could use your marker lights on other targets to, you know, build up more possibility for the rest of the army to kind of focus on that shit while the bodyguards / battle suits go to town on a particular other enemy unit instead. Or if you wanted to build an army that had less marker lights and more battle suits, you know, and you, as long as you had the CP to spare, this is a pretty good alternative, because one big thing about it, too, is it does not require you to be able to hit the target with the marker light first. You know, you don't have to coordinate shooting. You don't have to coordinate picking out, you know, okay, this unit's going to fire first because I don't mind if the rest of the models in the unit don't do a whole lot of extra damage and stuff. I'm just, you primarily have them here for the marker light, you know, so on and so forth. So, so yeah, it's definitely a good one. It's expensive at 2 CP, but it sounds like it's very, very, very powerful. For the correct build, you're going to see some pretty beefy killer battle suits at that point. So, and then we've also got the Farsight Enclaves. So they are getting their own separate update in the Greater Good book here. They did show off Stratagem here, Danger Close for 1 CP. Use it in your shooting phase when a Breacher team or Strike team unit from your army is chosen to shoot with. Until the end of that phase, when resolving an attack made with a ranged weapon by a model in that unit against an enemy unit within 12 inches, you can re-roll the wound roll. So, that's, you know, just full re-roll is nice. Very nice, actually. So, you could, you could potentially use that for even taking on tougher targets. You know, it increases your probability of getting better rolls and stuff. So, you know, if you normally could only damage something on, say, a 5 for the wounding, being able to re-roll it, even if you need 5s, it's pretty good. It definitely highly improves the odds. So, yeah, that's a pretty decent one. Obviously, it does require you to be within 12 inches, so that can be an issue. But, you know, kind of, it is a good option if the enemy's just getting way too close and you need them gone. So, and then we have, for Warlord traits, we have Aggressive Tactician for Commander model only. When this Warlord declares Mont Ka, it affects friendly Farsight Enclaves units within 12 inches of this Warlord instead of 6 inches. Now, Mont Ka, it allows you to advance and shoot as if you had not moved. So, but it can affect a much larger portion of the battlefield. I mean, if you're talking let's see here. Let's take a look. Pull up the Games Workshop website. And we got to find the Tau Commander model. Because what we need to do is figure out what size base is he on. The survey says here, 60 millimeter round base. So, when you take that base size there, if you break it down, to 30 millimeters plus the 12 inches after you convert shit over, blah, blah, blah. Basically, it creates a bubble with pi r squared. You're looking at, I just crunched the numbers here, 545.82 blah, 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 inches. On a battlefield that is typically 3,456 square inches. So you're looking at almost 16%, 15.79 blah, 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 percent of the battlefield that is now covered by that for the greater good capability. So there is, the Mont Ka ability. So that can definitely greatly boost your potential there to be able to use that. Then they also showed off a relic called the Mirror Codex. When resolving an attack by a model with this relic against a unit that's within 18 inches, you can reroll the hit roll. Not bad. Although, like, at least a lot of the Tau dudes are going to be hitting pretty easily generally anyways, but still. Or at least some of the guys that you'd probably use that on more often than not, like that would carry a relic. So it's definitely not a bad, you know, relic by any stretch, but I don't know how often you are going to, really take max advantage of that. So, but that is the Tau for the Greater Good preview. Moving on here to Gene Stealer Cults. You can, once again, create your own cult creed by combining two things into one, into your own making. So, for starters, they show off one option here, Agile Outriders. This is primarily for using biker models. It even says here, biker models with this cult creed do not suffer the penalty for moving and firing heavy weapons, and do not suffer the penalty for advancing and firing assault weapons. So that's originally part of the Rusted Claw, but you can go ahead now and build your own, sub-faction with your own custom cult creed that features that. So if you use a lot of bikes, there you go. They also have unnatural symbiosis. When a psychic test is taken for a cult model with this cult creed within 6 inches of another friendly cult unit, you can reroll any or all dice rolls of one. So, so that definitely, if you're going to have a lot of psychic focus primarily, that's definitely going to come in handy to, be able to have multiple psychers, take advantage. Although, actually, it does say that it doesn't have to be another psyker. It just has to be another friendly cult unit. So, there you go. But if you want to focus a lot on your psyker's capabilities, there's an option. They also added some new psychic powers in that are cult-specific. They show off here the Twisted Helix Mutagenic Deviation. Has a warp charge value of 6. If manifested, select one enemy infantry unit within 12 inches of the psyker until the start of your next psychic phase. When resolving an attack made with a melee weapon by a Twisted Helix model from your army against that unit, add 1 to the wound roll. Boosting your wound roll, always a big plus. And a warp charge value of 6 is fairly easy to get off, actually. So, that's not half bad. But, obviously, it's focused on melee weapon. But if you're doing G-Stealer Cult, you're probably, doing a lot of melee anyway. So, G-Stealers, if I remember correctly, G-Stealers do not get a cult creed. It's only the acolytes, hybrids, and all that jazz. Basically, the actual gene stealer cult models, but pure strain stealers, if I'm remembering, do not get access to the cult creed, so they would not be able to take advantage of this capability. So, if I'm remembering correctly, I could be terribly mistaken, though, in which case, forgive me. Let's see here. Then we got a stratagem for 1 CP prepared ambush. Use this strategy at the start of your shooting phase. Select one Neophyte Hybrids unit from your army that was set up on the battlefield using the Cult Ambush ability in this battle round. Until the end of that phase, auto guns models in that unit are equipped with a type characteristic of Assault 2. That's pretty neat, actually. Auto guns are typically rapid fire, if I'm remembering correctly. So being able to double tap without having to be within half range and stuff is definitely pretty fucking awesome. So, that's what we got for the preview. Not as much preview there for the G-Stealer Cults as the Tau Empire. Lastly, we have the Astra Militarum. All right, so I'm actually looking at this preview article and I'm seeing that it's actually missing some of the preview stuff, oddly enough, that they've already showed off through other means, so I will find that as well. But let's get into this while we are at it. Astra Militarum, Regimental Doctrines, you're going to be able to make your own. Now, this I am actually quite excited for. Namely, in that the Guard is all about, those regiments and stuff have always been a big, big focal point over the years and stuff. And being able to, make your own custom regiment, I mean, make your own custom chapter, so on and so forth, all that stuff is cool. But your own custom Astra Militarum regiment is, in my opinion, even cooler. So, just because of the lore and stuff, that they have so many different flavors of Guard. But let's see what we've got going on here. So, as before, you pick out, there's going to be 12 options. You pick out 2 of them. So, they showed off a couple of them right here, though. We've got Gunnery Experts. When you roll to determine the type characteristic of any weapon or vehicle model with this doctrine equipped with, you can reroll 1 of the dice, which is pretty fucking nasty. I've seen some pretty crazy shit with, what is it? I think it's Catachan can do something similar with, like, flamer weapons. And, like, blast weapon type things and stuff. So being able to just do that of any weapon on any vehicle, just, woof, that could be scary. Then we got disciplined shooters. When an infantry model with his doctrine shoots with a rapid-fire weapon against a unit that is within 18 inches, double the number of attacks that weapon makes rather than following the normal rules for rapid-fire weapons. Kind of curious, actually, about that. So, okay, most rapid-fire weapons that guard are, or the Astralterum, excuse me, are going to be armed with on their infantry or las guns, and those are 24-inch range. So normally you get the double tap at 12 inches. Double the number of attacks that weapon makes. Okay, so I'm assuming the way I'm reading that then is... That is kind of weirdly written and stuff compared to... Because there's other rules and stuff that let you, you know, double tap. You know, like bolter discipline lets you fire as if, you know, we're within half range if you stand still or something. So I'm guessing that basically this is just going to allow you to do the rapid fire double tap at a further range is basically what it boils down to. I don't think that it is... like stacking. That's why I'm getting a little weirded out wondering, does it stack? Like if you get down to the 12 inch or less, then do you get the rapid fire double tap plus this extra double tap, making it like four shots? I'm gonna say no. Even the way it's worded doesn't suggest that necessarily, but I don't understand why they chose to word it the way they did overall. But either way, definitely nice, you know, to be able to do double the shots at a further range, especially since the Guard are not big fans of getting up close and personal with anybody. So, yeah, so it does say, okay, yes, there is some specification here. Guardsmen can be churning out two shots apiece or four shots with a first rank fire, second rank fire order at up to 18 range. Okay, so there you go. So it's not going to double the double by any stretch. It's just going to, it will if you use that order, but it doesn't otherwise, so by the sounds of it. And then they also have something for like building armored companies specifically. Combined aspects when resolving an overwatch attack made by a regiment vehicle model with this doctrine whilst within 3 inches of another friendly regiment vehicle unit, a hit roll of 5+ scores a hit. Excuse me, another friendly regiment vehicle unit, a hit roll of 5+ scores a hit. So that's, you know, that's definitely helpful if you're, because tanks are, the guard tanks are not big fans of getting into combat because they have difficulty doing much to get out of combat, except for just falling back and not being able to shoot, and or they just get stuck. So, and then we've also got jury-rigged repairs. At the start of your turn, roll 1d6 for each vehicle model from your army with this doctrine that has lost any wounds. On a 2-4, that model regains 1 lost wound. On a 5+, that model regains up to D3 lost wounds. So, that's actually pretty nice that you don't have to have anybody around to try and fix them. You don't have to try and use stratagems or anything like that. It's just everybody, you know, as long as you don't roll a 1, they get, you know, wounds back. And on a 5+, regaining D3, that's definitely... that's a pretty good boost overall. Just free repairs for everybody, definitely something I would definitely consider, especially if you're focusing more on armored shit. So because getting just free repairs every single turn, awesome. Anyway, moving on here, and then we've got tank aces. So instead of choosing a warlord trait, you can pick an Astra Militarum vehicle and use the Tank Ace ability. You use its stratagem. It's 1 CP. You use it before the battle. Select one Astra Militarum vehicle model without the Brood Brothers keyword from your army. That model can be given a tank ace ability from the corresponding list below. Named characters cannot be given a tank ace ability, and no model can have more than one tank ace ability. You can only use this stratagem once per battle. Let's see here. So they showed off one of the options, Weapon Expert. You can improve the armor penetration characteristic of turret weapons this model is equipped with by one. So, for example, AP 0 becomes AP neg 1. Now, that's nice. I do like ones that just boost all the AP. Sometimes there's stuff that's like all AP 0 becomes AP neg 1. Or the reverse, where, you know, to defend yourself, any enemy weapons that have AP neg 1 count as AP 0 instead. But it doesn't, you know, it's not making a modifier to that. It's just simply saying if it's AP 1 normally, AP neg 1 normally, it's now AP 0, or in this case, vice versa, like I said. Then you come across, something that's AP neg 2, and that's it. That's all, you can't do anything about it. The same would apply here if that was the case, but it is not. They're just like all of your, turret weapons, get an extra neg 1 on top of it. So that's pretty neat. Let's see here. There are further abilities available for artillery vehicles and even super heavy tanks, it looks like. One they showed off here, Steadfast Leviathan. If your army's battle-forged, this model gains the regimental doctrine of its regiment, even if it is in a super heavy auxiliary detachment. So normally they wouldn't get those doctrine access necessarily, but now they do. Let's see here, and then some other stratagems here. We've got splash damage for 1 CP. Use it in the shooting phase when a hellhound model from your army is chosen to shoot with until the end of that phase. When resolving an attack made with a chem cannon, inferno cannon, or melta cannon by that model against a unit that is receiving the benefit of cover, you can reroll the wound roll. So it's kind of an interesting stratagem because it's essentially punishing your enemy for being in cover, as opposed to like most things that affect cover are just like, oh, it ignores cover, or things of that nature. But in this case, it legitimately is like, you know, your enemy is actually worse off because they are in cover. I don't know what the AP is on those weapons right off the top of my head. Well, the melta cannon, I'm pretty sure, is like neg 4 or neg 5 or some shit, crazy ass shit like that. But the point is that, you know, your enemy goes into cover to protect themselves, and you're not ignore cover just means they're just the same as if they were out in the open, is all. But this actually legitimately says, hey, because you chose not to be out in the open, I'm going to make your life worse, and increase my odds of actually killing you by getting to reroll all of my wound rolls. So that's pretty cool. And then we have, for armored sentinels or scout sentinels, we have strike first, strike hard, 1 CP, use it in your shooting phase in the first battle round, when an armored sentinels or scout sentinels unit from your army is chosen to shoot with, until the end of that phase, and resolving an attack made by a model in that unit, add 2 to the hit roll. That's definitely pretty nice. Especially since, I don't know if sentinels have like an ability to ignore the penalty for moving and firing heavy weapons, but typically speaking, they are going to want to be moving, and they're going to be firing heavy weapons. So being able to add 2 to the hit roll, if you're not negating that neg 1 modifier to begin with, then there you go. That's actually pretty nice, if you think about it, to both negate that and actually end up better off. So some cool shit there. They also had some stuff listed separately, not in any articles or anything like that, for the, Militarum Tempestus. So these guys have their own, doctrines now. They've added in, I think, 6 different regimental doctrines for Militarum Tempestus specifically. So, first of all, we've got the 43rd Iotan Dragons with crack shots. Add 6 inches to the range characteristic of rapid-fire weapons. Models with this doctrine are equipped with. Pretty good. That's assuming, too, that you can combine some of these, like, other abilities and stuff like that, stratagems and whatnot, you might be able to take even further advantage of anything that does, like, the orders, like the first rank fire, second rank fire, that sort of thing. Being able to boost your range will, anything that's affected by being half range or whatever else will be boosted further. So that's pretty nice. Then we have the 9th Iotan Gorgons with resolute heroism. When resolving an attack made with a ranged weapon by an infantry model with this doctrine against the closest enemy unit, an unmodified hit roll of 6 scores 1 additional hit. Not bad. Unmodified hit roll of 6 is not usually something too many people are pulling off on the reg. But that's still, you know, getting an additional hit because you just got a good lucky go. Pretty awesome. It does have to target the closest enemy model, so you want to be careful. To maximize use of this, you would have to be very careful about your placement of which units where. So just something to keep in mind. Then we've got the 55th Capic Eagles with mobilized infantry. So admittedly, reading that, I think of the Starship Troopers mobile infantry. Infantry models with this doctrine do not suffer the penalty for moving and firing heavy weapons. Okay, that's pretty cool. Although, right off the top of my head, I don't know how many heavy weapons, specifically Astra Militarum, are hauling around. That I'd have to double check. And also, when resolving an attack made by a model with this doctrine, a turn in which it disembarked from a transport, you add 1 to the hit roll. So, you know, being able to drop in and do even more damage than you normally would right on your drop is pretty cool. Then we got the 133rd Lamboan Lions. We'll go with Lamboan Lions. Sounds good to me. Prized weaponry. Improve the AP characteristic weapons models with this doctrine are equipped with by 1. It's kind of like we were talking about earlier. Just all of your weapons improve their AP by 1. And then we've got 54th Cyan Jackals, Death from the Dark. Each model destroyed by an attack made by a model with this doctrine in your shooting phase is treated as 2 destroyed models in the following morale phase. Not bad. Useful if you're really focusing really hard on that whole moral victory by overcoming the enemy's leadership. But because a lot of things are able to just ignore leadership, ignore morale tests, etc., it's kind of situational. I love the idea because it's like the Night Lords too. I love the idea, but you got to really work hard to maximize the use of that. And then lastly, we have the 32nd Thetoid Eagles, Predatory Strike. When resolving an attack made with a ranged weapon by a model with this doctrine against a unit that is within half range, an unmodified hit roll of 6 scores 1 additional hit. Interesting. Because, you know, you've got those Gorgons, which doesn't matter the range, just that it's got to be the closest enemy unit. And is that only on rapid fire, or what was that again? It's just ranged weapons, okay. And then these guys is just ranged weapons, but it's within, so it's the same ability, just one, as long as it's the closest enemy unit, the other as long as it's within half range. So, I would say, personally, I think that, well, I guess it kind of depends on your build overall. I would say that the guys that do the damage against the closest target would be the better choice of the two. While you can only use it against the closest target, if you're carefully plan that out, you'll be able to maximize damage against the specific things you want to do the damage to. As opposed to the other one requires you to be within half range. Now, granted, That means, like, okay, so let's say you've got an enemy unit within half range, and then you got two other targets that are, you know, kind of staggered, you know, behind that. Well, let's say they're all within half range, rather, excuse me. If they're all within half range, whichever one you want to, you know, get that bonus against, target that. If you're using what was the name of it? The Thetoid Eagles or the Predatory Strike. But the other one is going to be better against enemies that are further away, but you only just want to make sure you can, because you can only hit the closest target. So it's kind of interesting and weird that they're literally the same bonus. It's just the condition that the bonus activates is different. So, but yeah, so that's everything there as far as the previews for the greater good go. So I know that I was going to be doing the Caradhron Overlords Battle Tome review, continuing that, which I do still plan on doing that overall. But I'm thinking what I'm going to probably do with that, most likely, is I'm actually going to record it kind of like in parts. And then put it all together into one episode later. So I did, and this was actually part of my delay this week too, is I started doing recording on the rest of it on Tuesday. I honestly just didn't like the way it was turning out. I was just distracted and everything else going on too. But I just really didn't like the way it was turning out. So I decided, all right, I'll give it another spin, redo some stuff on Thursday. But thinking about it, I just feel like I can't necessarily do it justice by trying to sit down, record it, and get it out the same day. You know, I feel like I might be better served, and you as the listener better served, if I put a little bit more work into it, make it a bigger episode. I did feel like the Sisters of Battle one turned out pretty well, considering that was broken up over several episodes and stuff. But yeah, so far with the Overlords one, it's just not necessarily like hitting me. So it's not having the same effect and stuff. And it just doesn't sound as good. So I would rather get you guys, you know, one solid quality product rather than a bunch of little bits and pieces and stuff like that. Now, I might end up start recording it and I just managed to hit my stride and, you know, just go for it. But yeah, I just, like I said, I'm kind of on the fence as far as how I want to approach it overall. So, as that side note there too, related, part of it's like the format of the show, doing the weekly, update means that after a week goes by, there's so much other new good stuff. And it's like, damn, I could either sit here for the next 6 hours recording to cover literally everything that I wanted to cover before, the new stuff that's come up, and so on and so forth. Or I can, you know, all right, I'll do part of this week. I'll do the rest of it next week. But then the next week comes around, there's yet more stuff to go over. So on and so forth. So what I'm considering doing with the format of the show is I am considering doing actually more frequent episodes, to be honest, multiple times a week, but shorter episodes in total. Like each episode would probably be, generally speaking, from half hour to an hour, as opposed to having most of the episodes I've done are well over an hour, some of them approaching several hours long. But like even this episode right now, I'm about a little over 49 minutes in, and I'm just sitting here going, man, if I really wanted to do that Overlords coverage like I initially planned, be sitting here for another hour or more and not even cover everything that I wanted to. So like I said, I'm kind of on this fence right now between doing larger episodes that probably would require multiple recording sessions and a lot more editing and stuff, obviously, too. But just doing that, just boom, there we go. That's what I'm doing. Every once a week, I'm going to put out this big, giant episode. Or, once again, multiple episodes a week. I don't know how many times a week, but just multiple episodes a week. If I do switch the show's format to multiple episodes a week, then what will probably happen is there will be specific, you know, just as a general example here, you know, that my, well, let's just say if I did one like every weekday, now Wednesdays would be hard because of the boys. But it, like, you know, we'll just say Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. Let's just throw that out there. Let's say I was doing it 4 days a week. Monday, I might just go over the, what came out this weekend and what's going to be on tap this coming weekend. You know, like basically what did they start pre-orders on this past Saturday and what was released this past Saturday. I just kind of go over that shit and there we go. That's it. Done. And then Tuesday could be, you know, AOS or 40K, and then Thursday would be the other one, and then Friday would maybe be like specialist game shit. You know, just like I said, just throwing that out there. Let me know what you guys think, you know, what you would prefer to hear or see. Would you prefer like one big grab bag style episode, like kind of like what I've been doing on a weekly basis? Or would you be down for, you know, multiple smaller pieces, but with more of like a schedule in mind, more of a, this is what we talk about on these days, and this is what we talk about on those days, and stuff like that. You know, let me know what you guys think about the idea. You can hit me up on Facebook, facebook.com/theregimentalvoxpodcast, and give me your thoughts. So, but I think we're going to call that a call for today, guys. And like I said, I will continue to work on the KO and Zinch stuff. Just want to make sure I do justice by it. So, because in particular, actually, I noticed afterwards that my episode last week, I had actually missed some stuff. So want to make sure I correct things and do things better in the future. I will go into the specifics of the things I missed. But last week's episode was focused on Skyports, and I forgot that some of the Skyports actually change, like which units are battle line and stuff like that. So, but you know, it was a mild thing at best, but it does kind of affect how you choose your Skyport then. You know, if your choice of subfaction changes the actual layout and makeup of your army, that's kind of a big deal. So, but yeah, so anyway, we're going to call it a call. Thank you guys for listening. As always, hit me up on Facebook, facebook.com/theregimentalvoxpodcast. Follow me on Twitter @regimentalvox. And you can go to Patreon, help me out, donate money. Every little bit helps, get the show going even better. patreon.com/theregimentalvox. So, oh, and lastly, Danger Close Painting Studio. If you got anything you need done, hit me up. I'm willing to help people out, do some, you know, tabletop work on the cheap. Thank you guys for listening. I will catch you all in the next episode. This is Caleb Myers signing out for the evening. Have a wonderful week, everyone.